Well, you may be seated. I want to welcome you here today if you're new or visiting, and if there's any kids remaining in the auditorium, there's a great program running out for them today. We have a frozen party. Who got snowed on as they arrived? I dodged it because I wasn't sure if it would stain my jacket, so I tried to stay out of it. But welcome if you're new or visiting, and just going to welcome Pastor Andrew Harper to the stage now. He's got a great word from God.
Beautiful. Why don't we give the creative team a hand as they take a seat. Brilliant. How you doing, church? Who's enjoying the cold? Give me a wave, all those winter people again. Those people that absolutely love winter. Who's a summer person? Yeah, it was when I woke up, it was 5 degrees. That's cold. That's cold, right? That's colder than it ever got in New Zealand, I think, where I grew up. Good to have you here. I'm going to continue with the message I started last week. And my heart is really through this, is to really see people understand that God wants to release us from things that swirl around in our heads and our hearts, our emotions. Quite often, a lot of our thinking is tied up with things that hold us back from all that God's got for us. And you've got to understand that more than anything, God wants you to be free. He didn't come here just to save us, he did. But as believers, he also wants us to live victorious lives. Amen? Sometimes, I think we just leave it entrenched, the gospel entrenched in the power of salvation, and we get our fire insurance, I call it, our eternity insurance, locked and loaded. But the reality is that God wants you, over the course of your Christian life, to slowly but surely become more and more victorious. To become victorious and filled with faith and such a positive influence on everyone around you, whether it's your workplace, whether it's your family. God wants to see your family create a Christian heritage where your kids and your children love God and your households are filled with the presence of God and the promises of God. Amen? Where people connect with their calling and their fulfillment that God has put on their lives to live in a powerful way. So when we looked at last week, we quickly had a quick look at how we're made up. And this is going to be very basic for some of you. You understand this. We'll go to the first slide that we've got. This might be, new to you, but the reality is, we talked about this last week, there is a world out there that focuses on two of those areas. And the body, the flesh, your flesh is important. The Bible actually says that. Taking care of yourself is important. A few weeks ago, I went for one of those doctor's appointments and I'm waiting for the blood tests to come back, with a little full checkup. And so, I'm about to turn 50 in a few weeks' time. So you start thinking about things like that. When you're 21, 22, you're invincible, right? Who's over 50? Raise your hand. All right. So your body is what you put it into it. The Bible calls it a temple. It's important. But the world's preoccupied with it, don't you think? I mean, the amount of gyms that have opened up in our area, they open and they close, and they open and they close, and it's fantastic, it's good, but the world is so focused around the body. And we're doing everything we can to make it last longer, and I think we are probably doing a better job at it. But the reality is, it's not everything. And then the soul, the minds, the emotions, the will. We've got a whole world, whole industries out there focused on being positive or dealing with this counseling. There's all sorts of things that you can be involved in out there that build your mind, your education, equipping you. It's important. It's powerful. But then obviously we have the spirit realm. And the world touches on this and dabbles in it, but it's confused by and large with the spirit realm. Some people call it spirit guides, and we talk about the spirit being just a feeling or a positive energy. But we know in the place, in this place here, that the spirit that we're talking about is the spirit of Christ. Amen? That you are three parts to yourself. There are three parts. And when you became a believer, you became a new creation. And so last week we talked about how when you become a Christian, there is a change, that a transformation that happens on the inside. We'll go to the next slide. You actually become a Christian, but it doesn't mean as soon as you get saved, there are curses broken off your life. There are things you're set free from. Absolutely. Eternity is placed in your heart. You are a new creation, the Bible says. But there are still things that you've been involved in, things that have kept you bound, or maybe things that your family's been involved in, things that you've grown up in. Last week I talked about two topics, nature and nurture, and the two different things that the psychology world talks about. Nature is the way that you are created, and nurture is your environment that you're in. And there are many people that come to Christ and they've come from an unsaved family where there's been a lot of hurt, a lot of brokenness, a lot of abuse, where things haven't been exampled well, and there's been abandonment, and there's been all sorts of things going on. And these things do have an effect on your emotions. They have an effect on your mind. They have an effect on the way you act, respond. And God has a process. And last week we finished up. The most exciting part about the Spirit of God is, and I can tell you this, it's a lot of work to try and change yourself from the outside in. You can lock into counseling. There's some great things you can do out there. And I've seen people actually change and drop off some things from the past. There's a lot of work to be done for someone to move out of something like that from some sort of hurt that they've been involved in. But we as believers in this place, we have the greatest opportunity. We have an opportunity to change from the inside out. To allow it to release the Spirit of God inside of us. And the Spirit of God, as you connect with Him, as you begin to connect with His presence, His aim is to bring change in your life from the inside out. We go to the next slide. And last week we talked about some of the areas that are affecting those and the reasons why you might have some emotional scars. You might have some hooks, we call it, some things that connect you to your past. And we talked about your home environment. We talked about your schooling. We talked about things done to you by others. We talked about things that you've done wrong that you're holding on to. And even we talked about, we're going to talk about later on, generational things. These things create an environment around you. These things have caused your emotion, your soul, to respond quite often in a non-godly way. Amen? Who in this place is perfect? You just act just like God. Steve over here, I knew that. When anyone, you know, when someone cuts you off at the supermarket, you just praise God. Wind down the window and you say, God bless you. Amen? When someone rips you off or offends you, you just look at them in the face and say, oh, God loves you. Who does that? I'm pretty sure for everyone in this room, there's some work to be done. Amen? There's always going to be stuff that have affected you. And quite often, we don't know. There's varying degrees in this place. You know, one of them, I know for myself, my nature, my personality. I remember when I got saved, one of the greatest things about my life was just selfishness. My personality was lent that way. I don't know why. The whole world needed to revolve around me. And, you know, maybe it was the way, I don't know. But I was just quite a selfish person. And I've noticed over the years how God has been working on that. I've still got a way to go. Amen? Amen? Some of you are like, yeah. I've noticed that. God wants to work in our lives. And these, our home environment, our schooling, our friends, I talked about it last week, your workplace, things done by others, things you've done wrong. These are areas that we've allowed to impact our lives and quite often still do. But the great thing is that God's placed His Spirit inside of us. And His Spirit inside of us has incredible power to change our lives. There is not a life in this place. There is not a past in this place. There is not something that you've been involved in or something you've perpetrated or something that you've done that God cannot change. Amen? You're in the right place. If you're imperfect in this place, raise your hand. You're in good company. Look around. I hate the way the enemy sometimes just makes you compare yourself with others and you just think that everyone's perfect and you're not. Anyone hear those thoughts in their head? That you just didn't get your quiet time down this week. Everyone else did, but you didn't. That you're not as forgiving as you should be. You don't respond and react the way you should. We're all a work in progress. Amen? We've got a sign hanging over our heads. Work in progress. God's working on us. So I want to talk about that process because I think it's important for us to understand, for us in this place, that we have the Spirit of God and I want to see lives set free. And God has a very distinct process that He starts and He begins. As soon as you accept His life into yours, as soon as you decide that you're a new creation, as soon as you just say, I'm a believer now, I'm a Christian, the Word of God says that you are born again, that you are a new creation, that the things of the past are older, but everything is new. Amen? That doesn't mean instantly you walk out of salvation and you've got no other hang-ups, no other things, that everything's dropped off you and you're completely perfect. Have you noticed that? It doesn't work that way. Because God's doing a work in you and it takes time. So I want to talk about this process because the love of God is so powerful, but the love of God works through a word, a process called sanctification. Everyone say sanctification. Sounds scary, right? Sanctification. I remember the first time I heard that word, it was like, whoa. The Bible tells us that all men and women have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Amen? We're far from perfect. Let's all agree on that point. No one in this place is perfect. And when the Spirit of God enters your life, God begins sanctification. And I think the greatest thing for us to know in this place is that we need to know what God is trying to do, what His process is, and be a part of what He's trying to do in our lives. Amen? Who has a desire in this place just to be free, to walk in a freedom, to progress as a believer, to become a more godly person? Amen? That should be the heart and desire of every single believer in this place. And I think sometimes, and I want to start this process, that this series we're talking about, setting people free. I want you to understand what God's doing in you. It's exciting when you think that, you know, you talk about the love of God. The love of God's being set abroad in your heart. You suddenly realize that you are loved by the eternal creator of the universe and that nothing can separate you from that love. And it's so powerful. It's so incredible. But that love has a cleaning up process. Are you hearing me? That love, when it activates in your life, and it's just okay to say, oh, I'm loved by God. But when someone loves you, there's a change that happens in you. Are you with me? When I met Mary Ann, who was the love of my life, there was a change that happened to me. Amen? Suddenly I was, on a Sunday night, I'd get out of church and it was like maybe 9 o'clock and I'd drive 45 minutes to Liverpool just to spend an hour with her because we had to get up and get going the next Monday. A change happened. Are you hearing me? Things started to change on the inside. Suddenly I was like, wow, habits changed. Suddenly I was, you know, looking a little bit sharper every time she came around. You know, I was trying to, you know, I was just, you're wanting to impress. You remember that awkward first date where you just don't eat? Well, I know the girls are like that, but, you know, you just don't eat, do you? And you certainly don't go to one of those restaurants where you slap, you know, you're sucking up some pasta and it's spraying everywhere. You know, you go to eat the first date. Do you remember that? Where you just you act as if you are, you know, because you're trying to, you know, just trying to impress. You know what I mean? Things have changed a bit in married life, just quietly. Now you're down a hamburger and there's food all over your face. Marion comes up and goes, honey, you got half the food just there. It gets nasty. Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Amen. When you get saved, there's three things that are released into, three powers that are released into your spirit through your spirit of Christ in you. And a lot of you in this place, you'd know a lot about righteousness and redemption. Let me just explain, just in case. Redemption simply is that you were redeemed for a price. You're so precious, so amazing, that God thought about the most expensive price he could pay for you, not for the person next to you. I'm talking about you, because sometimes we just think, oh, it must be for someone else. It was for the person next to you, and it's for you as well. And if you were the only person on this earth, he still would have done it. Amen? Redeemed, that's what redeemed means. It's like God said, okay, I've got to pay a price to get them out of their slave, out of their damnation, out of the wrath of God that has been put on their lives because they have entered sin. I've got to pay a price. So God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit have a conversation. They're standing there and they say, well, what can we do about this? And Jesus says, Father, send me. And God says, okay, I'll send you, Son. I have to give up my life, the most expensive price that God could pay with his own son. That's what redemption is, amen? And he died on the cross, unjustified, without any right. The world had, man had no right to kill someone who never sinned. The Son of God had no right. The enemy had no right. Man had no right, and yet Christ put himself on the cross. God allowed him to be killed. That's redemption. And when he died on that cross, the price was paid. That's what redemption is. Kind of powerful, right? Righteousness. Righteousness is because of that price was paid. The grace of God. Jesus stands between us. Here's God. He's perfect. He's sinless. No sin can be near him. He's perfect light. We're in darkness because of our sin. And Jesus stands in the gap between us and God. And God looks through us, looks through the blood of Jesus and sees us. And we can stand before God. We can go to his throne room. We have access to the Holy of Holies because he is perfect because of Jesus. That's righteousness. So whenever you pray, no matter when you sin or whatever you do, you will always have righteousness. You will always have the ability to stand before God and to plead your case and to stand there and believe for his love to always be there. Amen? Nothing can take you from that incredible love because of Jesus Christ. It's not because of you. It's because of God sees you through the love of Jesus, through the life of Jesus, through his grace. It's in your spirit. Amen? Are you with me? This is a quick gospel message. Sanctification. Last one. Sanctification is powerful. We know redemption. We know righteousness. But what is sanctification? Sanctification is what I'm talking about here. Because it's for every believer in this place. Because God has a purpose and a plan to see you released, to see you set free. Therefore, my beloved, it says in Philippians 2:12, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. See, when you get saved, you're not immediately, you have the perfection of Christ before God in you. So you have a sanctification before God, but there is a sanctification before man, which means you are not perfect. Amen? That's why we turn to the person next to you and say, I'm sorry, you're not perfect. It might be a shock to them. It might be a shock to you. That would be scary. Before God, we have perfection through Christ. But before man, we all know in this place that we are not perfect. True? Because God wants to do a work in us, our salvation, our growth in Him, our sanctification. This process is God. It's not we're working. We are saved. There's nothing that can stop you from being saved. Amen? Are you with me? Let me just clarify that. You're saved in this place. Before God, because of Jesus Christ, you have access to God because of Jesus Christ. But I'm talking about the way you live, the way you think, the way you respond, the way you act. Amen? Is not completely saved yet. Do you agree? And we know that. And that's the disparity between the two. And this process called sanctification, the Spirit of God instantly starts to work, starts to permeate our emotions, our minds, the way we think, to shape us and mold us into Christ. And we need to be able to agree with this process. Let me give you two definitions to the word sanctification. You ready? First one is the state of growing in divine grace. When we are growing as Christians in Christ, we are growing in divine grace, understanding God's grace, allowing us to grow from the Spirit of God in us. It is us responding to His Spirit in us and allowing our lives to be changed because we have His divine grace. Amen? Can I just say, you're really truly only going to understand what it is to grow in God when you understand His divine grace. God's divine grace gives you access to God 24/7. You need to grow. And to grow in God, you need to be communicating and talking with God. And if the enemy is convincing you that you're separated from God, that's called condemnation and that's a lie. Are you with me? Because he would like you to get you over here and think that your growth in God is all about you and not about the Spirit of God in you. Amen? And he gets you doing all these things that the world out there does to try and please God. But the actual fact is that through the grace of God, you have complete access and perfection before God because of Jesus Christ. And you need that connection, that relationship, that ability to always know, even if you have stuffed it the night before, to know that you can stand through the grace of God, stand before God and go, God, I am so sorry. You know, that area of my life, God, I'm doing my best and I slipped up last night. I slipped up this morning. I did the wrong thing. But God, I know I stand before you right now. I need your strength. I need your power. And God, I just pray right now, my heart is repentant, which means I'm going to have a go again, God. With your power, your strength and your word and your Spirit in me, I can overcome this. Don't ever believe a lie of the enemy that you can always be in that place to stand before God. Amen? I don't care what you've done. Are you with me? I don't care what you've done. There's no way that the enemy can cut off access between you and God. You're the only person that can allow that through your own thinking. Are you with me? Are you with me? Because you need God to grow. This is what sanctification is all about. When the Holy Spirit, the second part of sanctification is being set apart. The first one is the divine grace, growing in the divine grace. It's God's love is divine grace. Understanding that you have the love of God in you and that God always loves you. That divine grace, that love. The only reason he always loves you is because of grace. Amen? Are you with me? It's by the grace of Jesus Christ that you receive God's love 24/7. He's always going to gaze on you with love. Always, 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 always because of Jesus. Amen? It's not something you earned. It's something you got given. And the second one is to set apart. Sanctification means to set apart for holy purpose. Whoa. That sounds, when I first heard that, what does that mean? I mean, that kind of sounds weird, right? You kind of believe that when you become a Christian that you become some sort of holy relic that is unusable. And people just look at it and go, ooh, there's a weird holy person. And they tiptoe around them. Oh, that's that weird person. Sanctification means set apart and holy. It doesn't mean that we suddenly become weird and you start speaking in King James English. David Luxton, how oft thou? Thou art good, how oft thou weaketh, Garetheth. Amen? And I've just seen people just go super, super weird. They allow themselves when, you know, they think that that's what holiness is. Holiness is actually, the actual definition of holiness in this whole concept of sanctification is set apart unto God. And do you know what it really means? God wants to get us, we're over here. We've got the love of God. We understand God. But we've got all these hooks and ties and things that are holding us back. Things that we did. Things that people did to us. Sins that have habits that we've created. Things that are holding us back from being all that we've called to be. Amen? God, holiness, is God wants you to come across here. He wants those things to go bing, 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 snap off you. And for you to end up over here where you're set apart from your sin and the guilt of your sin and the things that others did to you. And so that you are set free to be used by Him to do incredible things. Are you with me? That's what holiness is. Holiness, if you look right through the Old Testament, was that something was set apart and used primarily for God. And you know what? God's perfect. God has the perfect purpose and plan for your life. You can try and work out what you want to do on this earth, what your calling is. You can look at it from your perspective. But I tell you what, friend, if you just tap into God and allow the Spirit of God to keep changing and working, He'll start directing you towards your perfect calling, exactly what He designed you to be. He knows every single individual. He created you for a purpose and a plan. Jeremiah 29:11. Amen? I know the thoughts for you. I know the plans for you. I've got a future and a hope for you. He designed you with something in mind. Therefore, He is always working His will towards what you're called to be. Are you hearing me? You don't have to struggle at night going, oh, God, what have you called me to do? All you need to do is stay at night and say, God, I'm going to wake up in the morning and I'm going to allow your Spirit, I'm going to connect with your Spirit through the Word, through worship, through putting myself in church, through putting myself in a discipleship process, which is church, allowing yourself to grow, and God will start to head you towards all that you're called to be. Amen? Are you with me? Oh. Sanctification. Do you want to hear some definitions? He's not setting you apart to be some weird religious thing. He's setting you apart from sin and apart from ungodliness because it destroys your life. It takes away your joy, your fulfillment, and your happiness, and it stops you from being all that you're designed to be. Amen? A complete holy person? You show me the holiest person, and I'll show you the most fulfilled person who's doing what God's called them to do on this earth. Amen? It wasn't because they could speak in King James English. It's because their lives are so set apart, they're so separated from their past hurts and sins and the things that they can just think godly thoughts and they can allow the Spirit of God to speak through them constantly and they're just not held back by anything and they're just beautiful. And I've met some people like that. Amen? I've met some people that you just hang with them and you're just like, wow, that is such a pleasure. Amen? Their spirits are positive. They're not overcome by past things and their heads aren't thinking all these negative thoughts. They're just someone who seems so released and their spirit is so uncluttered and they're so peaceful and so beautiful to be around. It's absolute pleasure. Are you with me? And they don't have to be the biggest preacher in the world. They don't have to be the biggest business person in the world. They can be some person that just lives their lives doing whatever God's called them to do. It doesn't matter what you do. Significance in God is not to do with what you do. It's to do with how you do it, that you're doing it the right way and doing it God's way and doing what he's called you to do. Amen. You can be significant. Put this definition up, if we can, of sanctification. Listen to this. The work of God's grace, sanctification, the work of God's grace by which the believer is separated from sin and becomes dedicated to God's righteousness. Amen? Separated by sin and dedicated to standing before God, knowing that they can stand before God. Accomplished by the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. Sanctification results in holiness or purification from the guilt and the power of sin. You're separated from the guilt, from the power of sin that you might be affected right now over your life, and you're separated from the guilt of your sin. Amen? How cool would that be? To not have your thoughts racing around with the guilt of what you've done and this power that you're fighting with all the time. Amen? Imagine how clear your mind would, how God-focused. Imagine all the good things you could do with your mind was like that. Sanctification is instantaneous before God through Christ and progressive before man through obedience to the Holy Spirit and His Word. True? I want to see people set free in this place. And you know what? There are times that there are significant times when someone prays for you, it feels like something's just gone straight into your spirit and something's broken off you. Amen? But there are other times it takes a couple of years getting a hold of God's word and slowly but surely allowing God to change you. And sometimes people look at you and they go, do you know what? In the last 2 years, I've seen something completely different in you. You used to be like this. It's dropped off you. You're completely different. Amen? My heart is for this place, is for us just to grow in God. And next week, I'm going to start on, I believe, one of the biggest doorways to you allowing God to set the sanctification process just to broaden your life. One of the biggest doorways I'm going to talk about next week, which is powerful. But why don't we stand to our feet just for a moment? Go to the next screen just for a second. So this is talking about the Spirit of God radiates out of us. You know, you might not be someone that has maybe one of the obvious sins, things holding you back. Girls, gold and glory, or guys, gold and glory, they call it, which is your sexuality. Maybe you do. Maybe you just struggle with completely, your thoughts are overshadowed and overpowered by the negativity that you've been placed in for most of your life. People just constantly, maybe your parents, maybe your home life, constantly telling you, you're just not going to be anything. Maybe you do have areas where you just can't let go of what's happened to you. I love this church because I tell you what, we are focused on setting people free. Do you know that song that Tash wrote? Where's Tash? Where is she? That song that Tash wrote came out of the heart of this church that last song. Reach out. Because you know what? I just think there's so many people that your weeks are a battle. Your nights are a battle. There's regret. I feel God just wants to tell you that is not what He has for you. And you need to realize that there is a process that God has begun, and you need to cooperate with that process. Amen? Process of sanctification. You need to cooperate with the love of God. There is a power that is in you that can step you through and walk you out of anything that's happened over you. And it's the most powerful process, and it's the most powerful word. Jesus Christ, who spoke one word, God, Father, He is the Word. And He spoke this world into existence. We stand here in this, in our culture, and it's all about material things. And this very ground you stand on was spoken into being by the Creator of the universe. And that same Spirit that spoke this world into being, all in its perfection and its beauty and its detail, He has spoken. That Spirit is inside of you to transform you and change you and to release you from your past. And you need to realize that there is nothing that can stop what God wants to do in your life except for you. Amen? You can stand resistant in it. You can fight it. But there is not a devil. The devil knows he can't. If you start to cooperate with God, He knows he's done. He knows that. That's why He has condemnation. That's why the Bible says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because the devil uses that one, because he knows if he can somehow get you not talking to God and get you thinking that God doesn't like you and you're not good enough for God and God won't accept you, because he knows if you connect with the Spirit of God that's in you, if you connect with Him, you're going to change. And he'll do everything he can to get in your head going, hey, don't go to church, don't read your word, you're not good enough. Look at that person, they're perfect, you're not. You're hopeless, you're never going to change. You're always like this, oh, you stuffed up again. You said you weren't going to sin. You said you weren't. You said you'd get over that thing. It's been 2 years now and you still haven't got over that sin. You're pathetic, you're hopeless. God doesn't like you. Don't turn that worship music on. Don't you dare. That's only for godly people. That's not for you. You're pathetic. You heard those voices? It's good condemnation. Lies from the pit of hell. You have complete access before God. I don't care what you've done, because you need God to get through your sin. Amen? You have complete access. And you just say, God, I'm so sorry. Stuffed it. That's a repentant heart. Amen? And then God says, okay, let's start walking away from that sin. He pats you on the back and you go, I'm going to get into the Word and I'm going to allow it to build me up. I'm going to get other people around me. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to go to life groups. I'm going to go to some Christian counseling. I'm going to do whatever it takes to see me change. Amen? Why don't you lift your hands to God? Come on. I want the Spirit of God to settle in this place. I want a determination in this place to grow in God, to be set free. Come on. And I want you to, come on, say your sorries right now. Push a reset button. Say, God, do you know what? Whatever is floating around in your head, bring it before God. Be honest. Say sorry. I did it this morning. Now just raise your hands and I want you to experience the love of God in this place. Because right now you stand before Him absolutely clean, sinless before Him because of Jesus' Spirit and presence. Right now you stand before Him. You're standing in the Holy of Holies. The Almighty Creator of the universe is accepting you. right now, right now. You stand before Him. You have His presence. You have His favor. You have His grace. You have His anointing to change. You have His love. There is nothing height nor depth nor things created nor things unseen nor anything that man has made that can separate you from the love of God in Jesus' name. You have all that you need to grow in this place. All that you need in Jesus' name. God, let it be a revelation right now into everyone's spirit that we decide and we dedicate ourselves to growth. Jesus' name. Spirit of God, Holy Spirit, settle on your people. Settle on your people. Let there be freedom and liberty in this place. Speak freedom. Speak freedom in life. Freedom in life. Spirit of God. Last thing I want to do in this place. I want to give an opportunity if anyone in this place does not know Jesus Christ. And what I mean is if you do not have a personal relationship with Him, if you've got any doubt in your mind whether or not you're saved, whether your eternity is assured, that heaven is part of your future, if you have any doubt, you don't need to live with that doubt. Because when the Spirit of God comes into you, the Spirit of God, perfect love casts out all fear and doubt. And you need not have any. You need not question your salvation. You can have an assurance. And if you're in this place and you're just being 100% honest, and if you need to rededicate yourself to God, if you've just know you've just been completely out of relationship, you've been walking in the opposite direction, and if God's pressing on your heart, do it. Rededicate yourself afresh today. Give your life back to Him. Make a declaration today that you are going to live for God 100%. If you're any one of those two people, I'm going to pray a prayer right now. And I want you to pray it with all meaning. We're all going to pray this prayer. But I want you to pray it with all your heart, with sincerity. Come on, church. Dear Lord Jesus, I accept you today as my personal Lord and Savior. I accept that you died on the cross for me. That you are my Redeemer. That I have your grace and your mercy. That I'm a child of God. That I'm a Christian. Which means you, Christ, are in me. I accept your forgiveness of my sins. And your grace and your mercy. Come into my heart, Christ. Be my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Every eye closed, just for a moment longer. Every eye closed. You pray that prayer out of first time prayer or out of just a recommitment. Just raise your hand. Come on, don't be shy. Just lift your hand up. Spirit of God. Spirit of God. Okay. God, I just pray everyone in this room, you know the thoughts and your plans. Your word says they are for good and not for evil, that you are leading us through your process of sanctification into a life of fulfillment, a life of your joy. And God, we thank you for your presence and your spirit, and we rely on you, God. And God, I pray for your release in this place, Father God, that even through this series we'd see people begin to change, Father God, as your spirit changes us. in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. There we go. Good to have Joe. Give her a hand. And the whole fam. And before we go, I just want to pray for Joe, because it's a pretty big deal to go through what she's gone through, and got a funeral this Friday. You kind of get the feeling it's going to be a bit of a celebration as well. Hey, Joe, she was a very godly woman. And I know weeks ago when I just started texting you that there is a spirit that's coming on you that your mother held. And I know you're even feeling the burden of it now. But she had a heart just to change her family and see the Spirit of God go into every corner of that family. And I know it's resting on you. And I know you're feeling the burden of it. But I can tell you that it's coming with power and anointing. And it's not by your might, but by my Spirit, says the Lord, that's resting on you. But there is an anointing on you that was on your mom. The same things that have been said about her are going to be, really started to be said about you, but they're going to be said more. And it's going to be a double anointing on top of that. So God, we just pray for her, Spirit of God. God, that you would just comfort her. God, you know the loss of relationship and how that affects her. And God, I just pray that you would just settle on her and bring her comfort. But God, I pray that same excitement that her mum had for those around and her family and those around her, God, that she would just sense that anointing, that calling. Father God, that it would rest on her and excite her and encourage her in all that she does. We thank you for your presence and your power. And God, we pray for her family, God, that we just pray, Father God, that her life would cause new life to grow. God, that there would be a sprouting of life, of your eternal life right through that family. In the name of Jesus, God, we declare it, we speak it. Her life was not lost, but it was laid down so that new life could be formed all around, Father God. We take that sacrifice and believe, Father God, for what you're going to bring out of it. That where there is mourning, there shall be joy. Spiritual joy, eternal joy, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you, church. God bless you. Have a great rest of your Sunday. And if you're new or visiting, we'd love to meet you just out there for a cafe latte and a cappuccino, whatever you like. God bless you. Have a great rest of your Sunday.